Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Welcome back. Championship weekend is over. It was pretty wild if you were a fan of the teams that lost their conference championship game, but we're here to recap the weekend, talk about the future. And oh, by the way, the American Conference Championship Army football team is taking on the midshipmen of the Naval Academy this weekend. So what's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable. Or if you prefer, you can call it Ring Knocker Radio, and they are getting the extra special Ring Knocker edition because our NCO is indisposed at the moment. So you got me and Dan. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. You got Dano Icabesa calling out of Coastal Connecticut. Dano, what'd you end up watching this weekend? And we'll dive a little bit deeper into the games, but how did your day start, or your weekend start?
So I had a great weekend. I had a really great weekend. I've never been better, honestly. Sally and I went to the Army game, and as you can imagine, it easily surpassed my highest expectations. I mean, this Army team is just absolutely peaking at the right time. My God, they ran Tulane right the hell over. I mean, geez, that game, that was like about as good as it was going to go.
Yeah.
Maybe one busted coverage play, but man, what a great game. It was awesome. I got to say, after that, though, it was kind of a lot less football for me over the balance of the weekend, because after sitting, you know, outside with my beautiful wife for 5 hours in the blistering cold Friday night, I took her to a fancy record shop Saturday and then out to dinner Saturday night. And she's still a little under the weather. So I watched most of the Pac-12 championship before we left, and I listened to the second half of the SEC championship while we were on our way home. But I had to do like marriage equity for the back half of Saturday. Let me just put it to you that way.
Yeah, that's fair. So for me, I watched Army and Boise State side by side, and I can tell you, like, both of the teams got it done, but they both got it done in different styles. Ashton Gente, man, that guy's legit. He's a legit football athlete, man. We'll be seeing him play on Sundays for sure. I still like the fact that Army gets it done by committee. You know, although, you know, Bryson Daly has, like, was he number two in total rushing TDs in FBS?
He is
like,
tied for number one right now. They are tied.
Yeah, but like Kanye
Udoh. One game to play.
Yeah, Kanye Udoh, great performance this week. And, you know, quietly snuck in there over 1,000 yards rushing, right? So we have 2,000 yard rushers, and Noah Short tosses in another 800 all purpose yards. So, like, that's pretty doggone good for an Army team that, like, shows some balance, even though you have a pretty prolific guy in the QB spot. And then ended up watching the highlights after the evening because, of course, Friday night was all Army and the Mountain West Championship. And because Christmas, you know, you got to take a break every now and then. But somebody that doesn't take a break is our first sponsor, which is Jocelyn Bradley. She's our realtor. If you are PCSing to the Fort Liberty area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics there. She discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream home when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when you're in the market, when she's working for you. Jocelyn has an extended network of veteran realtors who can help support you if you're moving somewhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. She's decided to support us here at Ask for Football, and she is the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. Before we dive into the CFP rankings, Dano, I think the football gods interceded on our behalf by not letting a three-loss Bama get it to the get into the contest. I don't know about you, but that was pretty disappointing to even have them in the discussion, to be honest. What are your thoughts?
We've been saying it for a while. You know, the SEC and the Big Ten, but especially the SEC, wants to just make their champion the national champion. I mean, that's really what they want to do. Like, they'll play more games and make more money and have more revenue, but they at the end of the year, they're like, well, we're Bama, so you have to take us. You know, look at how prestigious our program is. And that I don't love. For a minute there, I thought maybe Army was going to get in despite everything, just because it was so wacky with SMU and Clemson and just all this nonsense. But the timing of the playoff does not work out well at all for the Black Knights, and that's probably the biggest reason I'm at peace with what happened, because there's no way you want a tired Army coming off the Army-Navy game going to freaking Notre Dame or Penn State or wherever and just getting smashed. I mean, that wasn't going to be good, so this is okay.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you. And, yeah, so we'll dive into it. So just a reminder for everyone else, top four teams get a bye. 5-8 host home games in the opening round. And here we go. So number one is Oregon. Like, the Ducks are going to get a bye. Georgia, after upsetting Texas in overtime, which was pretty ridiculous. That was kind of crazy. Actually, it's pretty good. That was a great game.
Indictment of Texas, actually. I know we're going to talk about this more, but it's a pretty bad indictment of Texas that Georgia was able to pull that off, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. And that was like one of those, like, hey, man, what are you guys actually doing? You know?
Yeah.
Then you've got Boise State in number three, ASU at number four. Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, and Ohio State round out 5-8. And so they will all be hosting home games in their respective competitions. Then you got Tennessee, Indiana, SMU, and Clemson. We're going to jump over to the AP real quick and talk about top 25 losses. We'll break them down a little bit further. But we ended the season with 71. You know, barring an upset of, you know, Army in the Army-Navy game, then, you know, the worst that we could be is 72, but that's still pretty crazy for a wild college football season. And then we'll just go to the breakdown. We'll hit the high points for each team and then give us your take in 20 seconds or less. So American Conference Championship, Army versus Tulane, or Tulane versus Army is probably the accurate way of saying it. Army Black Knights wins the American by 34 – American Conference by a score 34-14. We'll break this further down tomorrow on the Army football show, but Army needs to make some more room in their trophy case because they are legitimately going to pick up some more hardware this season, I believe. The Black Knights have Navy this week and will take on Marshall in the Independence Bowl. You know, there are a lot of opinions about the bowl game matchup. You know, what are your thoughts about just the overall game, and then what do you think about the matchup in the bowl game for Army? What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, like I said, I mean, the game went about as well as it was going to go for Army. You know, you got Tulane out there warming up with no shirts on in 28-degree weather. I mean, that just right from jump, you know that the cold is in their heads. Not just in their bodies, but in their minds. And you saw that on the field. Like, that was just a bad deal. Like we said before, you know, as soon as you let that moment of doubt creep into your mind, you're screwed. And this is kind of where they landed. As far as the bowl game's concerned, like, I get the impetus to match up the American Conference champ with the Sun Belt champ. And at a certain level, that's like historically a good idea as far as what bowl games are supposed to be about. And that's, you know, that's fine as far as it goes. Like, let's take these two conference champions and match them together in a bowl game. Like, great. But what stinks about it is that it feels like it's reinforcing the separation between the group of five and the power four. And that sucks. Right. You know, they spared two ostensibly decent power four teams by taking these, you know, two terrific group of five teams and just putting them against each other, which is, you know, come on. And Marshall has already lost their head coach and their starting quarterback. So it's not like we're going to get the thundering herd at their full strength. So good idea, interesting contest. It sucks that Marshall's already lost their quarterback. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they've just killed the bowl season entirely, and these are like meaningless postseason exhibitions, and Army-Navy just means everything now. Like, they used to say Army-Navy game is Army's bowl game, but this year, that's really true.
So, yeah, and for sure.
Probably enough said there.
Yeah, that's fair. And I mean, there's a lot of people that are a little salty, you know. And my only thing is, it's like, hey, look, you know, Army get revenge for, you know, the Randy Moss game all those years ago. I think just punish them. Like, if you're not going to come in full strength, run them out of the stadium.
It's an interesting matchup. Like, I'm for it as far as like doing the thing and playing the game, and that's all good, but whatever you were hoping to accomplish with it got shot out the window when the coach and the quarterback left within 5 minutes of each other.
Yeah.
Within 5 minutes of them announcing the bowl game like that.
Yeah.
That's not the committee's fault, but it does suck.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So moving on to the ACC, Clemson beat SMU 34-31 in a wild second half. Like, that may be the craziest game of the championship weekend, I think, you know, and to make matters worse, they snuck into the college football playoff. You know, Clemson is to take on Texas in the first round. Wow. You know, I got thoughts about that one. I legitimately think, you know, solid performance from Clemson. They didn't Clemson and, you know,
yeah,
tied 31-31 with 4 minutes left. They drove down the field, kicked a game-winning field goal. That's kind of like a storybook ending for that, you know. And then on top of that, you make the playoffs. So Cinderella continues, you know. They got a tough test ahead of them. They match up well with Texas, I think, but not well enough to advance. Just my thoughts. I don't know about you, Dana. What do you think?
I don't think they match up well with Texas. What I've learned is that if you want to beat Texas, you pretty much just have to out-defense them. So I haven't really seen Clemson play all that much, but tell me how their D-line is, and I'll tell you how they're going to do against Texas.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, listen, if we look at this, there are only like four teams that could really have a reasonable chance of winning this thing. You know, Oregon, Georgia, if their quarterback survives and they can put a bionic arm on him. Boise State, legitimately number three. And then Notre Dame, because I think that they deserve to be there. And you know what? We used to have that, and that would work. So this first round of games is interesting. Like Tennessee at Ohio State is a cool game, but
yeah,
come on, man.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the only thing is, like, you know, watching some of the college football analysis, you know, as we get ready to dive into the Big Ten, you know, Ohio State, Tennessee is an interesting matchup just because, yeah, you know,
that's a bowl game.
Yeah. And the other part of it is Tennessee is, you know, close enough to Ohio where the weather effects may not be as drastic as it was like for Tulane going to Army. So yeah, I think that makes it a little bit more of a compelling contest. And then it'll be interesting to see how the Ohio State defense actually matches up with Tennessee's no huddle offense. I think that makes that a compelling matchup, to be awesome.
Tennessee's defense is the underrated X factor in that matchup.
Yeah, for sure. So on to the Big Ten. Penn State lost to Oregon 45-37. The Nittany Lions actually did have an opportunity to kind of bring, you know, drive the field and have an opportunity to score. But, hey, man, when your quarterback throws a 50-50 ball, you know, on second down for no apparent reason whatsoever, and it gets picked off, that significantly kills your chances to, you know, they already had tough sledding because they had to go down, score a touchdown, and get a 2-point conversion just to send it to overtime. And then, you know, not sound decision making by your quarterback, and then, oh, by the way, you got to play another game now that you're in the playoff, and you missed out on an opportunity to get a bye to kind of work out the kinks. So we'll see what happens. But nope.
Penn State is roadkill at this point.
Yeah. I mean, they're hosting a home game against SMU, but the other part of it is the Penn State game is a daylight game, so they can't even do a whiteout, you know, which is one of their advantages is playing, you know, at Happy Valley at night in the whiteout. That usually helps them against, you know,
and any team. You'd like the weather effects there. Bringing up the guys from SMU to Penn State. Let's play that thing at 10 p.m., you know?
Yeah. Well, like, hope it snows. Yeah. Keep it cold and freaking snowy. That would be awesome. Again, you know, my thoughts on the Ducks, man, I will never root for them. I don't care, regardless of how well they play. But, you know, they're looking pretty solid, you know. And in the dick move of all dick moves of sports media writers, Dylan Gabriel gets the Heisman Trophy. Like, and I say that just to prepare yourself because stranger things have happened. You know, absolutely. regardless of how good, you know, like, look, Travis Hunter has played more football literally than any other college football player in college because he plays both ways and he averages about 130 snaps a game. He's played more football. Now, does that necessarily mean that he's the best player in college football? For some people, yes. For sports writers that don't like anomalies in college football, guess what? They're probably going to pull against him. Ashton Gente seems like the likely choice because he's an outstanding running back. But in the history of the Heisman Trophy, where do they tend to favor? The quarterback position. And Dylan Gabriel is probably the most consistent quarterback. And, oh, by the way, his team is undefeated. So do not be surprised if that were to happen.
So this is the thing that I'd like to bring up about Oregon, is that consistency is the hardest thing over the entire year of college football, witness the chaos that we just all went through of the, you know, this awesome college football season. It was awesome because there was so much chaos, right? And amidst that, Oregon is the only team that sort of held it together the whole way through. And everybody else had like mind-numbing losses. Even Tennessee losing to Arkansas, you know what I'm saying? Like every team had these mind-numbing losses except Oregon. So, hey, man, you know, that's, you're going to give them a few weeks to rest now. This is why I think that they're going to come through.
Yeah, and that wouldn't surprise me. But again, I don't like their coach. I don't like their colors. Moving on to the Big 12. So, you know, Iowa State dropped a big one to Arizona State, man. 45-19, 9 of their points coming in garbage time. Hey, that's Mr. Scataboo to you. Like, that kid had 10 rushes for 176 yards. That is like some manly rushing yards right there. Cam went off driving, you know, he was the driving force. Cam Scataboo was the driving force in ASU's success in the championship game. And literally in the second half of the season, that guy came on like gamebusters. And like, if you watched Arizona State at all you saw was Cam Scataboo highlights. So the guy's legit good. Quarterback is solid. They have a halfway decent defense. You know, so I think it's legitimate. I don't like them in the number 4 spot. I think they should have made the playoff, but I don't think they've won impressively enough. But all that said, they are the hottest team in college football right now. So it's like, where do you stick them? And so the number 4 seat's probably correct.
I'm always amazed when one player completely dominates high leverage contests like this. Like, how do you come in as Iowa State and not realize that Scataboo is the key to the offense? Yeah. That's like Bill Belichick always says, you know, you got to take one thing away. You can't take everything away, but you can take one thing away.
Yeah, spy that dude or something, right?
Yeah, so, something. I mean,
come on. Sun Devils get a first round bye because they're number 4. Iowa State gets the jilted lover of the college football playoff in Miami in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. So, I don't know. I do understand, you know, that Arizona State is hot, but do they really legitimately deserve, you know, the first round bye? I guess so. I mean, stranger things have happened.
They got two losses, right? Two losses is like good in this crazy ass season.
Yeah, but and again, I was thinking about this today. It's like the seed got planted way back in 2014 when Ohio State came in with one loss and won the whole damn thing. Yeah. So now, you know, it's acceptable to see two loss teams in the playoff. It is acceptable to see a 3-loss team or at least attempt to try and throw a 3-loss team in there, right? So it's going to happen. Anyway, moving on to Conference USA. Like, if you're a Jacksonville State fan, woo, I hope you cash that ticket and, you know, bet the over big time. They destroyed Western Kentucky. I mean, I did not see that coming. I thought it would be a much closer game. Not only did they win, but they won big. You know, Jackson State takes on the Bobcats in the Cure Bowl. WKU takes on James Madison in the Boca Raton Bowl. I think those are about the same level of bowl hype.
Yeah.
But,
well, Jacksonville State, Ohio is the same kind of thing that they did with Army. You know, it's that you got these two group of five conferences, and we're going to let some P5 teams off the hook and match these guys up, which, again, is kind of in line with the original idea of bowl season. And if you're trying to match up two teams where maybe half the teams won't sit out, this is good too, I guess. But if you're, I don't know, man, is Jacksonville State going to match up against, what, some 6-6 power 4 team? And that's a little hard to see, but this also is how we're rewarding conference champions. That's a little weird. Anyway, yeah. I will say I was surprised that so many of these championship games, especially in the group of 5, just got completely out of hand. That I was not expecting at all. And it seems like everybody just dunked all over whoever they were playing.
Yeah, for sure. And if you don't mind, could you do
that? Oh, yeah, man.
Please.
So if you have watched this show before, then you know that we are sponsored by Craig Oxane, sales rep for the Money Store. I sat with Craig at the game this weekend, and it was rad. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, based out of Chicago. He is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Craig is an awesome mortgage broker. He's going to give you super competitive rates, offer you the best deal that he possibly can. And that's important because the mortgage process is freaking confusing as it can be. Now is not the time to try to make a buck off some, to try to go with some clown who's trying to make a buck off you, right? You can get your face ripped off that way. You want to deal with somebody who cares, not some random big box bank, call center, whatever, minus website. You want to deal with a person you can call on the phone who's actually going to know something and help you. And by the way, this is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we are helping you to try to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig doesn't charge lenders fees for veterans. It's a huge savings. It's like $1,300. Like, that is a lot of money. Save that money. So Craig Oxane, you know, mortgage broker for the Money Store. Check him out. His link is on our website. His link is green and blue. I've got one that's all green that I got to put up on there. But regardless, you click on his little business card, and it takes you to his website. You fill out a little thing, and you'll be talking to him in a couple of hours. It's too easy.
Yeah, so it looks like the Heisman Trophy has been finalized. The four finalists are, and this is breaking news. Thanks to John for putting that out, so I was able to pull that up quickly while you're reading the commercial. Heisman finalists are Oregon quarterback Dylan Gabriel, Colorado wide receiver DB Travis Hunter, Boise State running back Ashton Jente, and Miami quarterback Cam Ward. Wow.
So that's a double slap in the face because they didn't invite five and they didn't invite Daly.
Yeah. Like, that's just.
How is that?
Yeah.
That's what is that, a political statement?
Yeah, again, it is a political statement. It's like, hey, we already got one undesirable in here in freaking Travis Hunter, so we're not going to put in, you know, Bryson Daly.
Unbelievable.
Regardless of how good his numbers are. You know, like, we can have a whole discussion about, you know, the sports writers this season, but like most of those guys, I just want to hit in the kneecaps with a ball peen hammer. Moving on to the Mid-American Conference, Ohio Bobcats put it on the Red Hawks and became the anointed kings of Maction in 2024, 38-3. Hey, not much left to say other than they jumped on the Red Hawks early and did not look back. Ohio gets Jackson State, as mentioned, and the Red Hawks will be sipping on gin and juice in the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl. And I don't know if that's tea or if it's liquor. But you might need a little bit of both after that beating you took from the Bobcats.
Yeah, I had this one on opposite the Big 12 game before we left for our adventures on Saturday. And yeah, man, Ohio was just killing these dudes. And I don't know. Like we said, interesting bowl matchup. Kind of a shame the way it worked out, but what can you do?
Yeah, for sure. Mountain West. So moving on, Boise State won the Mountain West and wheels off with, based off of the wheels of the Heisman finalist Ashton Jente. The Broncos beat UNLV 21-7. That score is not indicative of the play because that last touchdown came in the very, very winning moments of the fourth quarter. Hey, you know, Boise remains in the top four. They get a bye while UNLV goes to the Los Angeles Bowl. I mean, hey, man, like Ashton Jente, that dude's an athlete, man. I give him credit for that. Like, he is a stud. Like, there's no denying that. It's just interesting to see the fallout because, like, I don't understand how you have a guy that is tied with him for rushing touchdowns that doesn't get an opportunity to go to New York for the Heisman. And I get it. You know, and some vicious rumors were floating around. I don't know if they're vicious, but my understanding was Task Force 160th was prepared to launch an emergency aircraft to
pick. Really?
Yeah, like I saw this floating around the socials today, like Task Force 160th was willing to fly in to Maryland, pick Bryson Daly up after the Army-Navy game and fly him to New York. I don't know if that's true or not, but it sounds effing cool.
Man, it's just so awkward. Well, where do you think he's going to get drafted? Well, Bill, they didn't have to draft him because he volunteered.
Yeah, right? You know, it's like, yeah. And that was one of the things, like, break. That's the other part. You know, if you actually watch the Army game in its entirety, and we're going on a tangent here, but, man, like, can the commentators get any worse? Like, dude, do some freaking study. You are a paid analyst. Yeah,
you're paid to be here. You're supposed to know something about this team.
Yeah, and like you're talking about Tulane as if like the reason why they lost was because like, oh, they don't have an opponent on the field. It's just cold. Like, no, they got their butts whooped on national television, and I don't know. We're just working through it. Anyway, Southeastern Conference, Texas Longhorns lost a heartbreaker in overtime to the Georgia Bulldogs 22-19. 22-19. Georgia may have the advantage in the playoff because they're getting, you know, with all the extra quarters that they have and a week off, I think that's actually good for them so they can figure out how to put their team together. Bulldogs get a bye, and the they pushed the Longhorns into a first round contest with Clemson. So I don't know, man. Like, I feel bad for Texas. I think they have a Quinn Ewers problem. You know, as good as that kid is, when he's on, he's on. And when he's not on, like, they're going to take a L.
So I was listening to Joel Klatt today, and apparently Texas didn't play any of the top half teams in the SEC except Georgia, and Georgia beat the shit out of them twice. So, you know, who knows? Maybe they're going to get smacked around in this playoff thing after all. But it's crazy because they've looked like absolute world beaters against everybody all season except Georgia, and really the Georgia defense. But when it gets to the point where Georgia's quarterback is like out of the game with one arm, and all they can do literally is hand the ball off. They won't throw it for any reason at all, and you still lose? That's nuts. Like, yeah, that is fraudulent. I'm sorry. That's fraudulent.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that we're like, it's college football, right? That's
the best. Hey, listen, anything can happen on a college football Saturday. Yeah, but
that's why they play the games. You know, moving on to the Sun Belt Conference. Hey, the Raging Cajuns dropped their championship to the Thunder and Herd. They lost to a much better Marshall team, 31-3. The Herd has the Black Knights for the, you know, American Sun Belt champ status. So I guess if they like, they bring two belts or something and hand it to the winners, I mean, at least that would be somewhat exciting.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I totally did not expect to see a blowout from, you know, the Raging Cajuns. I saw the early part of the game, and you're like, they jumped on them early and got that field goal early. I was like, oh, this is going to be a contest. And then the deluge happened, and it was not so great.
So this is – I would have bet $50 that Louisiana was the better team before the game, but obviously not. You know, Marshall doesn't have like some killer record. I think they've got 3 or 4 losses. I think they got 3 losses, but yeah, it's nuts. And then Marshall's head coach leaves for Southern Miss.
Yeah.
Like, what? Yeah, and he's taking his quarterback with him, obviously. Apparently he's in a contract standoff with the school because they didn't want to pay him, which is very weird. So he wins their conference and then he just dips for a lateral. I mean, and one of the poorest laterals in the world, Southern Miss, is not even going to pay this guy more money. I mean, a mutual parting of ways after you win the conference championship. Like, that is nuts. But I can't bring myself to believe that Thundering Herd team is going to show up loaded prepared for that bowl game after all that craziness.
Yeah, in any way, shape, or form, which is unfortunate, man.
It is very unfortunate. I mean, listen, yeah. I'm prepared to be proven wrong. Maybe that game will be a barn burner for the ages, but that is not the way it's setting up.
Yeah, for sure. And here's a note, you know, sports commentators calling an Army game. This is the triple option. The defense has to be disciplined. Daly is a linebacker who plays QB. Wow. Just look at that day in the life of a cadet schedule. They wake up so early and take nuclear engineering. Yeah, like, again, ball peen hammer time, man. Just knock those dudes in their knees. I'm over it. You know, it's like, do us a small favor. It's like, I don't expect you to call the game with the same level of passion or excitement as a Rich DeMarco. However, like, you are professional, so be professional at your job. It makes me crazy. So the final tally for championship week, and Joe's not here to defend himself, but he actually won. He went 72. I came in second place, 6-3. I could have been 7-2 as well, but I cannot pull for Oregon, and that's the loss that I will stand on. And Dano went 5-4. We all missed SMU in Texas. I don't think any of us saw that. And
no,
I think we like SMU somehow faltered when they played Clemson, you know, and it just still makes me scratch my head. The reason why I say that is because, like, these dudes are legitimately crushing everybody that had the chance to win. You know what I mean? Like when Pitts was hot, SMU destroyed them, and, you know, and everybody that was playing like at a higher level, they were just wiping them out. And then you were like, okay, well, you guys are on point to freaking give old Dabo the business and put him on the hot seat. And that did not happen.
It's honestly frustrating. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but SMU is one of the schools that recruited me pretty heavy. And, you know, I don't root for them big time or anything, but that's definitely not a reason to not root for them. Like, hey, come swim for us. Like, I'm good, but I'm not mad. Like, that's awesome, right? And how disappointing. Anyway, what are you going to do?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it sucks, and that's part of the whole
shenanigans right there. The worst thing is just so many of these teams just couldn't get their act together in any way. I mean, no. Louisiana losing 31-3? Like, how the hell does that even happen?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. I really don't. So there is no Blue Falcon of the Week. We're trying to give you a sneaky one, but because Joe is out and about, we are going to move on.
Topic. I mean, the Heisman Committee gets my vote.
That's a fair point. Like, hey, you know, it's a tie hand in hand into the sunset for the Blue Falcon of the Week is the Heisman Trophy Committee and the College Football Playoff Committee. So you guys collect your T-shirt. I don't do it with the same flair as Joe, but we should send them a package of Blue Falcon T-shirts, because like clearly somebody sent me a meme the other day that was like the College Football Playoff Committee is watching football games with no chips, no beer, and no hot wings. They're suspects. And I have to agree with that one.
I mean, Army loses one game to the number four team in the country, and it's like death. Yeah. How could you lose that game? You know, a lot of people lost that team, Bill.
Yeah. It's one of those things that just scratches your head. So we got a quick topic this week, and it's like which high priority coach is going to impact the offseason. Like somebody at church actually came up to me and asked me, he's like, what do you think about Jimbo Fisher to West Virginia? And I was like, oof. I was like, honestly, I said, I don't think there's a big enough bag of money in the state of West Virginia to get Jimbo to come off the bench when I think he still has another, I want to say it's like 20 or 30 million.
Oh my God.
Guaranteed, you know, because of that ridiculous Texas A&M contract. I mean, if he's bored, maybe, but I also heard, you know, roommates is, you know, they were talking about hiring, trying to, you know, coax Nick Saban out of retirement because that's, you know, he's an alumni there. You know, like, hey, let's get him to go to WVU. Like, okay, like madness. And then, of course, you know, the unprincipled rumor of Bill Belichick. And I saw another meme about that one. Like, hey, Bill Belichick is going to go to UNC, not because he wants to coach, because it expands his dating pool, which is kind of a low blow. But, hey, whatever, man.
Hey, like, listen, if the shoe fits, wear it. I mean, it's a 76-year-old man or whatever with a 20-something-year-old girlfriend. I mean, there's only so many ways to take that.
Yeah, own it, I guess. That's the best thing that you can do. But, yeah, those are some of the rumors. And, of course, the unfettered rumor that popped up on ESPN today that, you know, Army fans are like, yeah, whatever, it's Navy week, nobody cares, you know, we know where Jeff Munkin's head is, and I don't think he's going to UNC. UNC is a basketball school, and their good opportunity to keep money around was with Drake May, and he left because he's got long ties to the state of North Carolina. And when that kid took off, I think that was pretty much the end there. And then on top of that, their illustrious record this season did not help them much in the recruiting of a new coach.
Well, they wanted to get Summerall, supposedly, and that just fell apart. And I really don't think Coach Munkin is going to take a job that Summerall turned down because they're in similar positions. I mean,
yeah, for sure. Well, and I was watching a local news report about the Tulane backers, man. Like, they have a lot of support in that state. So why would you?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, why would you leave a team?
Well, for money.
Like, yeah.
He's probably making 2.5. Let's say 2.5. It definitely can't be more than 4, but let's say between 2.5 and 4, which I understand is actually a big range, but still. So somewhere between 2 and 4 mil. So if he goes to UNC, they got to bump that up to like at least 6.5 for all the headaches, in my opinion.
Yeah, particularly with like you're straight rebuilding. That's not like it's not even close to a, like, oh, these guys were marginally okay this year and they just needed coaching change. And, you know, I think the writing was on the wall very, very early in the season when Mac Brown was like, hey, look, I think, you know, I've lost the locker room and this might be my last season. And he said it like he saw it coming. So it wasn't like a surprise because they weren't.
Well, he also said he wasn't intending to leave, that they were going to have to fire him, which, of course, they then did.
Yeah, they fired him. So
it's just,
hey, c'est la vie.
What are you gonna do?
So, Dano, any thoughts?
I have a thought.
Yeah.
New Central Michigan head coach Matt Drinkall is my high-powered coach who's going to make an impact, I don't know about in the offseason, but next season in the MAC, man. Congratulations to Coach Drinkall, Army's, for 2 years, offensive line coach, you know, the guy who essentially revamped the blocking scheme, turning Army into one of the top O-lines in the country, you know, still may win the Joe Moore Award.
Yeah.
We'll see if Army wins anything. I mean, at this point, what can you do? But, dude, they're getting a good one. Central Michigan is getting a good one. And I'm super excited to see what he'll do because he's a pretty interesting coach. Like, the guy has a lot of ideas, and his time working the triple can only help, because whatever he adds in, I think, is probably going to be revolutionary. And that's not bullshit. I mean, that's you know as well as I do that that could absolutely happen.
Yeah, Coach Drinkall is like, he is a gem, man. Like, he's got one of the, also has one of the best beards on social media. So, like, if you need any tips, like, tweet at him. He will probably give you some. But it's Army's loss is Central Michigan's gain, but I think he's left the program in a good state, you know. And the sad thing is, between, you know, Drinkall and Coach Vitti, the international house of pancakes on the Army offensive line has been in full effect. And, you know, and that's something, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, holding on to the caliber of coaches that Coach Munkin has had both all throughout the, you know, the team is a blessing to have them as long as we've had them, because with years of success comes years of coaches getting poached. You know, do not be surprised if some other people move around. I don't want them to, you know, like
a bunch of dudes poached at the end of this season, I assure you.
Yeah. Selfishly, we don't want people to move, but the reality of it is that's part of coaching in major college football, is like, if you have a 10-win season, other people are going to be looking at you because of your success with your current program. So we're going to move on to our weekly locks.
Weekly locks.
It's a little bit special this week, so we're going to pass it over to Dano, kind of run down what is going on with the weekly locks this week. Dano.
So we run a picks league in the Firstie Club, and we've been trying to figure out how to close out this season now for like about the last half week, whatever. And so we need to finish on a bang. And with bowl season already a shit show, I think it, finishing with the Army Navy game is probably the best way to do it. But how do you do that in a Go Army fan club, right? So we're going to do three prop bets. So this is where we talk gambling. I'm not going to give these picks over on the other show. This is not really analysis. This is, you know, for those of you who are inveterate gamblers listening to our picks, this is why we're doing this here. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. I went 2-1 last week. Ohio and Oregon both came through easily. Army put such an incredible hurting on Tulane, though, that they damn near hit the over by themselves, which is awesome, but I lost, right? Didn't need to give up that touchdown in garbage time, but what can you do? So anyway, here are my Army-Navy prop bets. First half, under 13.5. Second half is this highest scoring half, so highest scoring half, second. And Navy team total under 14.5. And if you've ever watched these games, all of that is predicated on the idea that these games are always super low. It's like the Super Bowl. The first half is always low scoring and conservative. And then if there are fireworks, they tend to come down in crunch time.
Yeah, for sure. So my picks this week, and I have to hit all three of them in order to even sniff the brass ring in this year. But so I've got the first half under 13.5. Second half will be the highest scoring half, and Army will score more than 2.5 touchdowns. So that is 17 points, roughly. So they need to have at least two scores and a field goal.
My reading of that is definitely that they have to score three touchdowns.
Yeah, for sure. They have to more than, right?
Yeah, more than 2.5 touchdowns.
Yeah, so they need two touchdowns and a field goal, or two field goals. That'll work. But
I would say two touchdowns, a field goal, and a safety.
Okay, now I'll take that too. I don't care, as long as it's the Army team doing it, right? But I think this is going to be interesting. Army Navy is always going to be good. We'll do a much larger, deeper dive into the college football pantheon tomorrow. Usually the Army Navy show is our biggest show of the year, so do not miss it, because we are going to have as full a crew as we can, and we are going to deep dive the American Championship as well as preview the Army Navy football game. We're at the end, folks. A little bit faster this week because there's really not a lot of college football to cover, because we're at the last week, and again, Army-Navy next week, so there'll probably be a post-blast.
But I have enjoyed the hell out of this season, though. I mean, it's just been wild as anything, and despite the shit show that this last little bit and just how infuriating it is, it's still been rad to watch some of these Power 5 teams just get...
Yeah, I mean,
destroy themselves.
Yeah, parity is a thing now in college football, which is nice, right? Because like of 134 teams, you have one undefeated squad, which is good, because normally we're sitting at 7 or 8 at this time of the season. And so it actually helps that there's parity. like I said, my ultimate goal is not watching the college football turn into a, you know, minor league for the NFL. So like, oh my gosh, you stepped on a shadow, roughing the passer. Like, I don't want to see that. You know, I want to see, you know, quality football being played. There's been some great quality contests, you know, like as much as we didn't like seeing Georgia sneak past Georgia Tech, what a great game. Like, if you haven't watched the highlights of that, just the overtime, that was a tremendous football game. Haynes King is my unsung hero of the season. Like, that guy's legit. He's a quarterback for Georgia Tech. I think he's going to do big things next year if he stays there. But we'll see. Hey, we're at the end of the show. Army-Navy show is tomorrow night. Same bat time, same bat channel. Heisman Trophy winner or nominees or finalists have been announced. Again, no Bryson Daly, which sucks. The coaching carousel may firm up a little bit more. Yo, the transfer portal is about to catch on fire because it started today, and I think the early signing ends at the first of the year or something like that. So you're going to have guys that are going to be trying to move and shake before bowl season, which is insane. So it's going to close before the first bowl week. So I think it's like the 26th or the 27th of December. But you're going to have people that are literally going to be trying to land, you know, at new school so they can be at least in spring ball for next term, which is just insane to me. But we may see some coaching announcements other than just Coach Drinkall.
Yeah.
Either way.
I think so.
Yeah. Either way, join us tomorrow night for the Ask for Football Army football show as we preview the Navy matchup for the team here at College Football Roundtable. I'm Rob, your host, the Angry Colonel out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Ikebesa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut. And we will see you guys next week.
Beat Navy.
Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extras. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.